report to the county that when filed with State Murphy, Taylor, and Timothy, and the village.
Just some chairperson remarks. Congratulations to Newry All Stars Special Olympic Club on their brilliant wins at the recent games in Berlin. Dervis Gravett and his partner Chloe Hillen, who won silver for gold. Leah Fagan won two bronze medals and a fifth place ribbon for equestrian. I had the pleasure, along with my colleagues, Councillor Declan Murphy and Councillor Shalina Murphy, of meeting the club before they set off for the games, and we spent an enjoyable evening with them in Bourne. Congratulations to Carol Fagan, Jules of Taekwondo, on the success at the 2023 Open European Taekwondo Championships. They had 26 gold medals, over 20 silver and 40 bronze, putting Carol's Taekwondo schools firmly on the map. A huge well done. Congratulations to young Elsie Penelope from Newry, who's just won a Spirit of NI award on Friday night. Alfie is an inspirational young boy who suffers from Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and this is a disease which is very close to my own home and heart. Alfie and his family are dedicated to raising awareness and funding research to find a cure for this life-limiting disease. Into declarations of interest. Item 3, the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 5th of June. 3, page 1, page 2, page 3. Can I have a proposal and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Savage. Thank you. Item 4. Is the minutes of the annual general meeting held on the 5th of June 2023. Could I have a proposal and a seconder, please? Followed by Councillor Clark. So, proposed by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor any matters arising? Item 5, the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of June 2023. A proposal seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Flynn, seconded by Councillor Mousy. Any matters arising? Item 6. Is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 12th of June 2023? Could I have a proposal seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Lee Sertiner, seconded by Councillor Quinn. Any matters arising? We have a question from Councillor Hunt.
Page 9 there reference the knowledge on our hot relocations. Could I ask Karen just a few questions over there? I know that the hot is not that great shape at one time or another, and the council's proposal to put it in storage. Would the council be open to that being given or loaned to someone that was prepared to real rapid and good progression on the disaster and the civilian military. There's a group called Delmon and Winifred was a very interesting in that. Friends and I have really attached to this, but so, would you guys be open to that?
Great, yeah. I'm happy to open some discussions to let the person come and have a sighting of that so they understand the intention of the but I'll have a conversation.
Thank you, Chair.
Also on items like the minutes of the meeting, the application for an entertainment license by Quinn's Bar, Newcastle, held on Monday the 12th of June 2023. I have a proposer and a seconder, please. Followed by Councillor Clark. Seconded by Councillor Boise. Any matters arising? Item 7, the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 15th of June 2023. I have a proposal and a seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Seconded by Councillor Allers. Any matters arising? Councillor Burns?
Yeah. On page 3, first of all, I raised the issue of the papers coming in, sure, I don't know what the status of legislation, but I think the Department of Defense has some consistency in the same legislation that we did, majority of them. I asked that response as a duty, but July is with us back in August, the fact that morning session will have a break with these delays, so it gives the space to track something that is at least responsible for us.
Okay. Through the chair, Councillor Byrne, we will be looking at the MC and the court track and the MC. Yes, we do.
Item 8, minutes of the African Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 19th of June 2023. I have a proposal and a seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Lee Sturgeoner. Seconded by Councillor Finnegan. Any matters arising?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, Chair, two questions in relation to the active and healthy communities agenda. The first one is in relation to the financial assistance award under the major sport and minor sport capital grants. I've been contacted by a club who had met with council in relation to their pre-application challenge staff, they met the criteria and were told that they had. They then went and acquired consultants and got everything in place and applied, and then were told once their application was assessed that they did not meet the criteria. And that obviously cost the club a lot of money. Chair, I would ask that the AHC officials review what they are saying to potential applicants through the capital grants and any applications at all to ensure that they don't incur costs that are necessary if the application does meet criteria. And a second part of that question, Chair, under the financial assistance, it does stipulate and show that there is an actual understand for the capital programme. And I'm not going to the numbers of that, but there is an understand. So it'd be interesting to see in a future AHC committee if that could be reported back. And then my second question, Chair, is in relation to PTSD. I'm sure my colleagues in Downpatrick have probably been made aware of similar concerns in relation to Mount Crescent Clare Park, which is a council facility, where a number of items are being dumped top of the bonfire. And we as a council resurfaced that road and grown Austin's to the main earth, and a lot of parents who would drop off their children to the Down High have shown great concerns about, one, the level of dumping that's being taken, and two, what's the task of the PCSP, and officials get in touch with the DA councillors to detail what steps were taken, because I'm aware in other DAs that have been successful interventions concerning bonfires within wrong areas and creating days or diversionary activities to try and minimise the impact. So it's just raises concerns.
I'm happy to talk about this also. And then with respect to the financial assistance, I'm happy to take that back to the team. I'm presenting to back to the board to address the concerns raised. And on with respect to the PCSP issue, I'm aware of the discussions from the mission.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to echo some of the sentiments from Councillor Sharp about getting financial assistance. Also, I'm aware of the club that, hopefully, the failure in this application will mean that they will have implications on other national funding applications. I was just wondering if also can advise when the funding for this would reopen and what kind of feedback will applicants receive that were unsuccessful, and will that include direct contact between officers and the applicants?
I'm not aware of specific circumstances, but I'm aware that there are at times unsuccessful applicants and provide feedback on where their application failed to meet the criteria. I would expect that has happened on this occasion as well, but I'm happy to look into the issue further if you can provide some more details at the second.
Mr. Hanlon, you want to comment?
Yeah, just on both that, I think the point being made here is that matters are unsuccessful. The fact that they did a pre-application inquiry or pre-funding inquiry and they've been out the money for the consultation, you know, that should be avoided in the future because, as Karen said, much funding being affected by it. So I think that should be taken forward. Also in regard to the issue around the potential bonfire of Bridge Street, the PCSD isn't meeting until the 25th of July, so is there something, you had mentioned there's ongoing discussions at the minute, will we be updated before the 12th, if you can?
If I'm in contact with PCSD tomorrow, I'm going to see the chair to put up this chat.
Thank you.
Item 9, the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 21st of June 2023. I have a proposer and a seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor McAvoy. Seconded by Councillor Savage. Any matters raised? Item 10 is the planning section. Item 11 is an amendment to standing orders that's for approval.
And as Chair of the Report is in the papers, so we brought this to the SPNR committee in March 23. In March, and it's just changed the name of the Neighbourhood Services Committee to sustainability and environment, and it sets out in our standing orders that there can be no discussion on that until the next meeting of the council. So it's brought the same register of energy ratification.
So, Mike, to hear your question.
Well, I said, if they have the queue, if you only a brief one on the fiscal plan session, we should have a report to Connor that the report is on the very development plan. Sorry, our last plan meeting was dealing with the area plan, the development plan. And you get for the test completion of it. So I presume that same year there are no issues to be considered, but I presume that previously on something.
Regarding the meeting happened last Wednesday, the most recent planning meeting, which would have been past the time for the consumers. It was beyond the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have
a
proposal seconder for the amendment.
Yeah, it's just a quick question around stamp orders in general. I know there's a bit of confusion of strategic policy and resources. So would it be scope within the council to provide some training to members on stamp orders and how motions are dealt with?
Sure. Yes, we are rolling out training to all members. I didn't want to hold it in July or August, but probably at the very beginning of September, maybe, or at the very end of August, we'll roll out stamp order training for all members. And it is kind of imperative that people come along to that training and get into the it would probably be kind of educational to various teams or in the chambers or the type of whatever people prefer.
Thanks, sir.
We have, sorry, Councillor Brennan. Warren, sorry.
Yeah, it's probably on for I think the trend across the Welsh that's absolutely key. Because it should be available at the head office or something we need here, and then by hosting any good between the morning or something like that, and that's going to be the best we have to do. That's what I was saying.
Chair, myself, I'm just going to think for me, just regarding the discussion pathway, and that would be brought to the experience of writing the policy for our inclusion government.
So we have a proposer and seconder for the amendment to standing orders, please. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor McCoy. Request for response from the Department for Infrastructure, re-84/2023. Emergency notice of motion with the fixed bridge design from Murray Southern Railway Close. Can I have a proposal and seconder, please?
Sure.
All right, Councillor Shaw, do you have a question?
Yes, Chair. The response from the Minister, the person in the private side, saying to him, is probably being impacted, but you know, I do take homage to the fact that in the response he says that concerns are raised by stakeholders, including elected representatives. It's not elected representatives, it's this council. This council made it very clear and said a very strong and worded letter to the administration why he couldn't disagree with the inclusions of the economic appraisal process. We were certainly of the view. We supported the Lisbon Bridge, part of the Ingrid solution to facilitate our waterways in Murray, at the Albert Basin, and access ultimately to what was the oldest navigational canal in Murray, the Murray Canal, and the oldest navigational canal, in fact, in these islands. Chair, because shortfalls in funding before, with projects in particular releasing the bridges, our district, and particularly the bridges across the stretch of water. And on one previous occasion, at least, the Irish government has stepped in through the Shire Island Unit, which, as it says in the tenders of the Shire Island, projects, supporting projects with mutual benefit from the cities of the island, parts of the island. So, from that perspective, I believe we should be considering making an approach to the TSLIF's office and the Shire Island Unit in relation to saying if this is a project similar to what was done in Canadian in relation to paying the funding that we didn't have in the north to pay much needed to have funding for nursing training at MPD College, we should be looking to see if this is something that the Shared Energy Unit could look, given the fact that the other bridge that crosses this stretch of water has a lifting bridge on, it's fully funded by the Shared Energy Unit and the Irish government. You know, we have an obligation, I think, that have been on, let's say, short-term potential. None of us here would have known 50 years ago what for example, mobile phones have been such a huge industry as I reached into here. So in 50 years' time, we don't know what engineering capabilities will be in relation to opening potential from the other basin for our canal in Germany, putting this potential. Given the fact that we have tourism as one of our key planks of our economic strategy for this area, it's very important that we protect those assets and to make sure that everything is done possible to make sure that we get access to that water, to those waterways. That I believe are the jewel in the crown in areas of tourism destination potentially down the line. I think it's impossible, but I want to be valuing that. So I'm not surprised that people think outside the box when it came to the economic appraisal that was fairly high and to what it was asking. That said, I agree we need to do two things. Proposing tonight that we went to the permanent secretary and ask if engagement is sought from the Shire Engineering in relation to finding funding for the engineering solution for lifting bridge or shallow access for tall ships and other vessels into the Albert Basin and subsequently allowing access and opening up those vessels in some shape or form to the canal. And we write to the Shire Engineering to the T-Ships office and ask if they look at the possibility of bridging that gap part of the fund. So from that perspective, I'd like to propose tonight that we write to Permanent Secretary asking him to open or to ask for he be open to a potential approach from the Shared Island Unit that we can convince the Shared Island Unit to listen to the project that I think would work very well as was proposed from our water bridge. And given the enthusiasm through which the Irish government and the Fish Office a shield for that project. I think that there's mutual benefit here in relation to the Warren County Port. Accessibility to the economic, north-south economic corridor on the eastern seaboard is beneficial to both parts of the island. And I think it's something that we should give consideration to as a potential solution. I also believe as well in our letter to the permanent secretary that we should ask from the department what other potential engineering opportunities there are to allow for that, other than a lifting bridge, because I have repeated in the local press that there were other potential engineering solutions there, and I would like to know if those have been explored at length and exhausted by the department. I put that proposal on the public
perception. Right. Well, Councillor Strategy's proposal, Councillor McAteer is seconding proposal. Councillor King, comment?
Just say who's on that. I'll just take a minute.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Chair. That's a very good administration and I mean, the advice response this week. Yeah, this is great to see. I suppose, just to remind, should be in this room. Emergency House of Motion on Southern Relief Road in Wash, the burden for the department to reconsider its decision to proceed with the fixed bridge. And it is deeply disappointing that despite this motion passing, the response was received from the EFA states that they intend to proceed with their decision. This will hinder, of course, our chance to develop the full forest potential of the early and systemic waterways. We will be seeking an urgent meeting with the Department for Infrastructure to continue to raise the community support for the bridge that would of course allow for the use of future development of the historic Erie Canal as this. Thank you very much, Chair.
Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just really sort of to echo the sentiments really of Councillors Davies and King. If it is going back to the regards to the look and really no issue with Professor Sargent was all the way right to the Shared Island Unit. But just really come to the letter going back to the Department Secretary, which I think Professor Savage was indicating. I think we do have to reiterate again, Professor King is of the same opinion, just that any bridge that's going to prevent the access, any design of a bridge that's going to prevent the access of all ships really must not be considered early end-to-end solutions. I think, you know, Chris Bridge and Councillor Savage touched on it as well. There may be other engineering solutions, but the crux of the matter is it needs to be navigable by the tall ships. And ergo, any plan that comes back to us should be cognizant of that. It should be allowing the pass of the tall ships to work. And that's what's needed. That is the state of opinion within this council, and that is the new state of opinion within this council, and that is the facts of the department. Chair, thank you.
Okay,
Councillor Burns. Okay, as Master Secretary said, not there, there was so much production.
Sorry, I'm from Lakin 13.
I think we have a glitch, somebody else wants to speak about it.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's a bit of a fail before there, I my concerns there on the Dilkin Bridge, whether it was a sanction or not, but if it wouldn't be right into the Parliament Secretary, could you include in the comments on that matter there, if this was to be decided, an open bridge was to be included, would it be the redesign of the bridge going across there, and would it delay the Southern and Lethal to watch who should be pushed back?
The time will be a year and a half, or back to the other end of the matter, but that's the time for the video. As I understand it, it's very important that we get to speak back, because it's not sure that you support the Maritime Board, but we need to get a bit of time probably for the other question to be asked.
Thanks, Gordon.
Sure, thank you for being. Obviously, we've got a screenshot of the email that was sent back with correspondence immediately shared with those events as well as this back assessment. And also, just to see it, it's like a awesome message. It's like no change, Shannon. I mean, that's a great move from NIO. So, we get that shared. Obviously, there was a number of there was a number of speeches made about changes to different jurisdictions, and that had to be reflected in the response. So, I would say that our decision is not changed. We've got to take notice of changes in other jurisdictions as well, and these things are actually somewhat by years of the same. So, I'll change what they've done in the past. So, I'll probably share.
All right, Chair, just to
close
the last correspondence we sent.
So I propose that Council to write back, asking them to take into consideration the points that were set out originally in the letter, and if so, outline as to what their issues is in regards to that direct, so that we can make sense from the
Council of the Country. Thank you. We move on now to our notice of first motion. Item 14, with the notice of motion, with the barbecues. And the notice of motion was called from Councillor Flower. Councillor Flower, this would be better as ART. If you could just read your motion and let us know who's seconding it, please.
Okay, Chair, thanks very much. Council notes with concern the damage caused by the irresponsible use of disposable barbecues to some council facilities, as well as to vulnerable environmental areas. In response to the situation, Council should explore options to reduce the use of disposable barbecues in all Council facilities and on Council land, which is deemed to be environmentally sensitive. Council should also seek to develop an awareness programme in partnership with relevant stakeholders to highlight the potential harm that disposable barbecues can cause to sensitive environmental areas. Chair, Councillor Truesdale will be second.
Thank you, Councillor. Item 15 is the notice of motion from Councillor Campbell on the school sports program. It will be heard at council. So if you could just go ahead, Councillor Campbell.
This council proposes to raise the state of the Department of Education. Here as well as primary schools programs, and programs that are responsible for everybody needs. Recognizes the negative impact this will have on the physical and emotional well-being of thousands of children and young people across the district. The breach of the right of government staff view of the Department of Education, now that any discounts opposition for these funding cuts, as the other terms to be considered as proposal to advance the teaching school program in the order. That will be seconded by Mr. Pendle.
I'm going to speak on it, Councillor Campbell, sorry.
Someone who's volunteered in our local supporting community for over 15 years has been concerned that he's supported with the one of the premise for the support program is to be the supported program delivered by GA and IAD, which is over 200 schools and 24,000 children across the world. Any schools that are on district fail these programs are set in the south. Executive approach to deliver what stated physical education lessons and share pupils will release the in some form of physical activity. This activity can improve the health of young people physically and mentally as assessment supporting their overall well-being. This is yet another consequence of the moral and intestinal supporting costs as deaths in our public services as to which children and young people. British government must be able to say on property and deaths are increased with them. Being executive established by ICA local policy to support our children and young people. And still, we can demonstrate our opposition to cessation. We need to come together and protect the neighbours, department of education officials, and executives to say, our children and young people can help with our tech rights. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Any other second motion? Do you wish to speak?
I'm not just happy to speak. I'm from Chair, thank you.
Let's have a comment from Professor Shumburn.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. And the SDLP will be supporting the motion, Chair. As is said out in the motion, it's a great program that certainly has supported 200 schools with 22 coaches. But Chair, these cuts itself actually goes against the council's own corporate objective of an active and healthy society. The programme itself provided extra PE classes, lessons in athletics, dance, games, gymnastics, as well as soccer and DEA, and provided advice to teachers. The schools programmes supported 900 teachers, 24,000 children, and delivered more than 400 PE classes a week. The programme increased physical activity among children around the people, and a recent Stormont report actually found that over a quarter of children in the north were classed as overweight or obese. These cuts will risk long-term harm to the physical and mental health of children. Sport introduces problem-solving, teamwork, and forges friendships, and teaches social skills and interaction. It is vital that this program be reinstated to protect the health and well-being and resilience of children across the world. Chair, obviously, this council is calling for it to be reinstated and funded, but we ourselves as a council can certainly encourage local school ETAs to apply to the Council's own financial assistance program to ensure children and young people, particularly those who are vulnerable, don't miss out.
Yeah, I just want to echo what you just said by Councillor Campbell. The supports for young people is very important, and I'm a sports woman myself, and I think I really understand. And whilst Councillor Campbell mentioned the story cuts, I mean, much of this is due to the lack of the sort of exactly, and that's important. Just wondering.
Councillor Jackson, comment?
Sure, this is we obviously support this. Obviously, we're supportive of the
study from Tom next week's sports program and yeah, just really respond to that.
Patrick Cameron, do you have to sum up?
Thank you, Chair. I was just welcome to support my colleagues that it is awesome.
Thank you. Item 16, the notice of motion from Councillor O'Hara on the study of languages.
It said, the Council notes with concern the British Council's Language Trends 2023 report, which showed that pupils in the North are required to learn languages less than those in any country in Europe. Council recognises the range of benefits which learning languages can have to a young person's development and degrees in the absence of an education minister, to write to the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Education and encourage him and his officials to consider the report and to explore options which would increase the learning of languages in schools here. The British Council's recent report is that the North has the shortest curriculum time for compulsory language learning of anywhere on the continent of Europe, which is very startling. Learning different languages brings with it a range of cognitive and social benefits, problem solving, boosting short-term memory.
Sorry, Siobhan, just before you go any further, we need a seconder for your motion, please.
Sorry. Aidan Mathers. So learning different languages brings with it a range of cognitive and social benefits, problem solving, boosting short-term memory and improving communication, tolerance and understanding are just some of the advantages that we risk depriving many of our children and young people of. In recent years, the direction of travel is very much fixed towards the modern economy and equipping our young people with the skills necessary to succeed in a world of technology. The report confirms recent findings that languages play a significant role in international trade and that investment in languages has huge financial benefits. The report I referenced found that young people often do not see the value of languages for their future career or the importance of languages in the global workplace, and this has to change. Newry Morning Down is an ever-diversifying and multicultural district. The same can be said for right across these islands, so it's up to us as policymakers to take on board the concerns and to look at new ways in which language learning can be promoted and enhanced from primary level onwards. In the absence of functioning assemblies and executive, it's important we use platforms and forums such as these to register our concern on some of these big issues, and I would encourage fellow councillors to support this motion.
Councillor Mathers, are you happy to second the motion? Councillor Bowsley?
I'd like to thank Councillor O'Hara for bringing forward this positive motion. Somebody's grown up through the education system here, and now as a foreign language teacher myself, I feel the support called for foreign languages at an early age. Children are far more receptive to learning new languages whenever they're in primary school. British Council report makes them stimulated. Do note that Northern Ireland has the least worst time for the study of second languages in schools, but it is disappointing that compulsory language learning is less in Northern Ireland. Motion is good. There's a small bit I think could be clearer where it states students are required to learn languages less. I think that is a slightly different meaning than what's intended. I propose amending that to include the actual quote for the British Council, and therefore the amended first sentence would therefore read as follows. This council notes with concern the British Council's Language Trends 2023 report, which states that Northern Ireland has the shortest time for compulsory language learning of any country in the continent of Europe. Stands up.
Are you happy enough to, or, yeah, to accept the amendment?
Yes, I'm happy to accept that amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Enright?
Thanks, Chairperson. Whilst I'm happy to support this motion, I've been looking at the British Council's report, and it's not clear to me that the accounting British Council report took into account 7,000 students attending educations with a medium of Irish in Northern Ireland, or indeed I believe 200,000 children having bilingual education in Wales and a large number of pupils in Scotland. I think those figures were discounted, and I think that's a mistake. Certainly, I know from personal experience as a father of Irish-speaking children that they were able to pick up several languages other than Gaelic and English from attending primary school at an early age. One of them was able to later on do their primary degree in Dutch in Holland, and the second was able to do a finance degree in Paris through the medium of French. So the ability to pick up languages in a bilingual context from a very early age also needs to be taken on board. It's probably the best way in which one can encourage multilingualism. Thank you, Chairperson.
It's once for Martin. Sorry, Siobhan. That's what works.
Yeah, just to be pretty clear, I mean, the SRB is falling as well. So it's cultural education ahead on French up to degree level. English reduces the secret French graduate degree level. When you travel around the world and meet other people from other European countries, in many of our associated most other European countries go up bilingual, speaking the whole languages. And I found I was talking in World Tony Chess about the various about us in this, you know, education system that once you're English, you don't need anything else. That's how it's good for us because it must have good for that in there on the environment or moving as well. Well, I mean scholarly chance and I interest as well. But yeah, all these are more students on the market.
I appreciate your support. Thank you very much, around the chamber. And just to reiterate the state of the learning of languages in the north is really quite shocking, and a number of different things have led to this, and it has a huge number of knock-on implications for our students, not least in trying to get into third level education, and really it's something that needs to start at primary level, right from the word go, and it's not supported at primary level in the slightest. So thank you for your support, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 17 is the notice of motion. The Leisure Centre of AHC was asked Councillor Hanlon to read the motion and there is who's going to second it.
Councillor, my motion will be seconded by Councillor Mallard. So this council recognises that in the aftermath of COVID, our local leisure facilities and services across the district are experiencing a number of significant challenges. Notes that residents and service users are not getting services or access to the facilities they're entitled to, and calls for an urgent and robust review of planning, management and delivery is nearing morning down. Leisure services to be undertaken in order to sustain an operational model that meets the needs of service users, ratepayers and supports council staff in their ability to deliver first class services. Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry, sure. Item 18 is a notice of motion from Councillor Louise Surgeoner, accepting electronic copies of valid insurance certificates for purposes of power taxation, pure life, NI Postal Office. Councillor could you just let us know who's seconded, please?
My motion is seconded by Councillor Andrew McMurray. Basically, the practice of requiring paper copies of insurance certificates for our taxation purposes at Northern Post Office is considered obsolete and archaic, with unnecessary burdens on individuals and organizations in our jurisdiction. But presentation of electronic copies are just as valid, efficient, and more practical. Autonomous Council in recognizing the advantages of LGBT implementations and best practice in Great Britain proposes the following actions. This council will contact other known vessels seeking their treatment that eligible sold that are insurance certificates or cover notes should be accepted at no example sources. Additionally, a letter will be drafted to the Department of Infrastructure from the Secretary to implement administrative changes allowing the acceptance of electronic insurance certificates or notes at all known applicable sources for the implementation process. Thank you.
Yes. Are you speaking to the motion?
The one's not second.
David, are you speaking to the motion? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for allowing me the opportunity to address a situation that actually affects all of us. For many of us, it's a simple process. We get in the car, we present insurance paper, MOT maker chooses how long we wish to tax it for, and how we wish to pay. However, for some people in our society, it's not that straightforward. This motion came to be because a much older gentleman, a law-abiding citizen, was denied a simple service at his local post office. Why? Because he did not have a printout of his card details. An electronic document prepared by his daughter was sent to him on WhatsApp. He had to leave the counter and find them. It has been observed in Great Britain, this test is meet the requirements. And yeah, this is seen in posters that are post offices and on the website as well. Even though every registered car with a valid car insurance is entered into a central database that can be accessed to confirm if a car has a valid car insurance or not. Such websites like at the MID level. And yet, also, post offices in Northern Ireland use the same infrastructure as those in Germany. It's time Northern Ireland's car taxation services are more aligned with things to make car taxation easier for people than lives here in Northern Ireland.
Councillor McMorrie, are you happy to second?
Happy to second.
Councillor Hannah.
What understand why this price protection brought this forward? I worked in the market for them for 6 or 4 years, and most of them recently. Where the only thing you actually need to present, my understanding, is that you purchase a new vehicle. And that small green slip, you go to post office, you have that, or you have the letter reminding you to your current tax. Quite honest with you, honestly, I don't understand the relevance of this because everything in mind is done through the MID, the Motor Insurance Database, that is. Everybody is on that does have a vehicle, that is. That's how the police know whether you're insured or not. Quite honestly, just to get your cover note printed up, because it's probably set to most people electronically now, so that's the way I get mine. Something like your printed up. It's just maybe a slight misunderstanding with the gentleman that went to get his insurance there, but you have to have that physically with them. No post office, no post office. If you're going to insure a vehicle for the first time, I don't know exactly the circumstances here, whether it was just a renewal or what, but they know automatically when you give them that letter in so they're whether you are insured or not, and then we'll see. Just don't get it, you know, they have that. But I mean, I don't quite understand where you're coming from. I don't think there needs to be any changes because I think the system they have at the moment is quite good. So at this moment, I'm very mildly having a grudging license with the slow chair. Thank you.
That's right, Mom.
Thank you. I had the same questions for Councillor Schardiner when he made Daniel spoken to me about the motion coming through council, but he had assured me that there was an issue there. I know I tax both my cars or even phone the LA in less than 10 minutes, so that's why I was asking, you know, where the motion is coming from as well. But I mean, like, we're happy to support if it's going to be restricted for people who are vulnerable or elderly or don't have access to computers, and we can let DFI post office come back with for that response. But I would say I was a bit confused around it as well, so.
Could I just make one more comment? You can do it online, I'm sure, but this actually started, was I don't remember at the time because I catch all my vehicles on my own, so I think quite it's easy because there's only need to try to drive the top gravel on it and then get a bit. Yeah.
Hi, sir, I have a key here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if this is compared to the threat of the variants of confusion because residents are saying things that I'm sure it is right. It sounds because it is seeing the control stuff. Better it. Or it does actually require a percent of certificate, but in a distance, kind of service on that structure, are not necessarily new, but change that we were made up to you for the first time, that the legal environment, and the contract, say that the decision that will be on the government, I guess, the government, the etc. So if you are correct one way, and another way, with your motion, maybe accurately, that's the effect on all charges. I think I had to take the end from this one. What's the name?
Yeah, do we
have you just to sum up, please? Well, thank you for everyone's feedback. No, you didn't answer right. I own a car myself, and normally for me, it's such a busy process that I don't understand, you know. But there are some people in that live here that I'm very backbone, and
I want to make the lives easier for everyone, that's all. That's all.
Thanks. Hello, Corey.
Prince Andrew Spudson,
Prince
of Isaac.
That's it. Prince of Brennan. Or.
Prince of Campbell.
Or.
Councillor Four.
Four.
I won't steal any chair.
Okay, can I just want to state, Councillor Hart, four. And Councillor Harrell is absent. Councillor Jackson?
I'll stand.
Councillor Kern?
Four.
Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Researcher?
Four.
Councillor Day is absent. Councillor McGinnis? And Councillor Malkish?
Four.
Councillor Malkish here?
Yeah.
Councillor McMahon?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor O'Hara?
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kit Murphy's house and Councillor Slater Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Quaid?
Four.
Councillor Ray? Councillor Reddy? Councillor
Rice? Four.
Councillor Roman?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Charmin?
Four.
Councillor Taylor and Ten Mayor Hassel? Councillor Christian?
Four.
28 for, none against, and four abstentions. Item 19 is a notice of motion on university graduations brought by Councillor Rice. just let us know raise your motion and let us know who's seconded, please.
Thank you, Chair. The motion is, this council notes recent concerning reports that many university students may not be able to graduate and receive their qualifications as normal this summer. Council recognises this is an issue for many students across the district who have worked hard over a number of years in their respective universities. This council further calls on Ulster University to use their influence to urge the Universities and Colleges Employers Association, the UCEA, to engage constructively with workers on demands for fair play and working conditions, fair pensions and an end to casualisation, and further calls on the university to end the uncertainty for students in relation to their grades and graduation. And Councillor Cathal King will be seconding this motion.
Just before you start, Michael, just to let everyone know that the motion wasn't withdrawn, it has been amended.
Thank you, Chair. As I understand it, the current situation is that the issues are resolved with staff and unions at Queen's University, with all marking to be completed by the 7th of August. This has been a welcoming development for students and staff, ending a period of incredible uncertainty and confusion. However, in Ulster University, the issue is still ongoing. I would call on Queen's to engage similarly with the unions as their counterparts have done in Queen's University. Academic staff and our local institutions perform a vital service for our students and are valuable to the economic and social well-being of our society. It is paramount that they are valued and listened to. Students and staff need reassurances, and I implore senior management to address these long-standing issues as a matter of urgency. Local universities must use their influence within Universities UK to encourage meaningful negotiations in order to bring about a fair and acceptable resolution. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for saying, happy to
second. Yeah, I'm happy to second that. Over the past few weeks, the seniors and the whole already had a big student myself at the university. So it's awesome to see some of the admins working quite inside the reason. However, we recognise this cannot be left at the door of the university staff, as they have been forced to take an industrial action after a long campaign of bad working conditions. Echo my colleagues' comments and concerns, imploring university management to do everything they can to resolve the current impasse.
Councillor Kelly, you have a comment?
Yeah, I just want to say I want to support the mission. I only graduated last year from Queen's, and there were similar issues then. Regarding strikes, it's resolved then, and it's resolved again for students to ensure that
they get the degree and graduate as they will have to. So, thank you. Good. I want to quickly just ask Mr. Rice to sum up, please.
Well, thank you, Chair, and appreciate everyone seems to be behind in this here. I know you're probably sick of me bringing up university issues and the chamber floor, but it's an important one. The strikes have been going on now for a long, long time. So, as I say again, we implore that the management of university staff or the university management, you know, find a resolution to these issues that have been going on for too long. Thank you, Chair.
Is everyone in agreement? Moving on to item 20, is a notice of motion brought by Councillor Byrne. Stephen Waters, just read the motion statement. Second, please.
Motion reads, this council recognises the acute pressures of that and working conditions. So the scared lawyer can see. This council calls the UK government to put an accent for its third piece as well as the safe of agriculture before they should have approved the photographs that can pass on the industry as a consequence of the ability where necessary. It's important that issues be addressed where we have central government debt, quite a long form of government on the islands that we utilize these businesses in this industry. And that's why I'm asking all colleagues here today
to support the requests from the Food Innovation Producing Industry and in particular the Hortman Grant. Fruit and veg producer kind of this position all because of the early orders. And that is more headed from stuff again my great rules and criteria has been part of it from Preston. The industry in again is particularly at risk. I just let the scene on that. That's an industry that serves £65 million a year. It went from nearly 300 working farms in 1981 down to the 10 working farms now. That's not that called consolidation. But those 10 producers are predominantly in the border area between the ABC Council and our council. And they produce 10% of the overall UK numbers, 10% from these producers in Northern Ireland over to GB. 4,000 people employed. That's, you know, 700 people employed in the working farms themselves. But in the supply chain, because you've got compost and plastic as well, all the logistics people, and this industry is predominantly EU poultry. 95% of the industry is EU poultry. Now that's made up of it. The fact that the reason for that would be with the statement around those jobs have to come from the people in the industry themselves. Simply can't put the people here to do work. And working on apple brands. And they have to work on the very seasonal. Now, the reason for bringing some of the drawbacks of these restrictions is we now have two different protocols on both sides of the border. So in the north, there is the SAW scheme, the seasonal agricultural worker scheme, which allows the industry to take in seasonal workers for 6 months only. And out of those 6 months, 16 weeks of those 6 months are mandatory training that must be coordinated. So what we're effectively doing is, and the other side of the border, before I say that, is the Republic of Ireland scheme, where workers can stay after 5 years. You know, so they can get lifetime session and stay after 5 years. And you also have, on the Republic of Ireland side, kinds of adjustment reserve. So you do on £10,000 of volume to the working farm, and most of the industry, and so that I'm really sort of values from the set to GE Wire, which is direct metal, those suppliers are important. But that does is to take a huge difference is people are coming into the Northern Ireland businesses with 10 working farms, effectively getting trained up and then jumping across the border. So it is simply not sustainable for those producers. And they are spending the time training up and make sure the workshop skills and then there's them. I don't blame the workers for doing that because they need therapy and can't move here and have, you know, missing for 3 months or whatever, they need therapy and have that done. So we need to eliminate some of those issues. Out of the Morton Register, and I focus on the Morton Register because I met with a number of them. They used to be represented and advocated by producer organisations. That was where you had a lot of producers from this island. Were represented by one body because they're saying quite a horticultural industry. And in 2022, because of the differences in both sides of the border, they felt in the north that they need their own voice. And that's where you've got the Northern Ireland Hunting Growers Association ordered up because of the clear differences and they need to highlight those issues themselves. 8 out of the 10 working farms are part of that community, and India is threatened on all these issues. We're asking, and they're asking to be part of the shortcut of their policy. So it's a list that if you have charges that you can be added to the list and it relaxes some of these restrictions for people coming over, reduce the fees of payment for people seeking a visa, and will allow people to stay for up to 2 years, which is certain to do. Now this, today I went down to see an mushroom scheme. Like here down the woods down in Hayridge, I met with Jared and the Irish who are part of them getting an advocate on this issue, asked me to see some application on this. And it was frustrating to listen to them because they have over 50 workers there. They have huge potential for growth. They talked about since the war in Ukraine, since COVID, since the guidelines have changed globally, that there is a bigger onus on homegrown produce And that obviously with shortages and certain channels in GB, that the SMEs keep by trying to hold over there, that they need to be supported and able to grow and attract investment into their industry. But they can't do that with the other products. And the other products are not going to make them to the shortage because of very stringent visa restrictions. So I am asking the council to support their request to write to the UK government, particularly the Migration Policy Committee, who are reviewing that list of short-term visitor list. They want to ensure that the list reflects the common labour market and are open to listening to any recommendations. So we'll send in the recommendation as the local council would be very, very strong by the case and for those businesses. But yeah, thanks for your time and that's very hard. It would be exciting.
Yes, I'm happy to support the motion. It is a very important issue. You know, I think Councillor Gordon has very much covered off all angles there around the issues that the agri-sector is facing. Our MP team has been working hard on this as well, and Vicky Brady will be meeting with TRA's colleagues in London to try and advocate for this. And in particular, as Councillor Gordon has said, around the shortage of occupationalists, because that will be key to try and get this resolved for the agri section. So good motion, I'm happy to second. Thank you. Thanks for my
chair. Future, and yes, the figures is an excellent motion. I believe, you know, there's some nice chance of 12 to 15 million in interest, but not so much here, our sister Jeremy and Apple industry, which both of the industries support ancillary industries, the food sector, but also extends into the dairy sector as well as the milk price, you know, falls, the maritime need for earth, and that is simply not happening. So we need to get this in these days. I'll be able to come here and even want to aim the position that recognizes our business in culture, working in the village, working earlier, also the junior, like the chair of Back Ventures. And that's why they're kind of movement members, because of the discontent in the urban party. But I think we need to be doing this. At least our interests here aren't just like what is very important that they go ahead. Because we have no ourselves here in second. And I think it's actually going to bring support.
Thanks, Arana.
Thank you, Chair. It's an excellent motion, so it is quite honestly, one of these industries that are apple and mushrooms and all the type of agricultural industry is suffering drastically since Brexit has caused this problem. And also there is a few of them asking slightly around the motions and that the medicines can do the fully harvested and to prevent the collapse of horticultural industry. I would ask you to add questions to that. So and the fishing industry at this moment in time, you can see that hourglass that is suffering severely there because you cannot get one part to fix the boats and do the necessary work. Most, I know they're not all EU, but there was some considerable time between Polish and Lithuanian, and those that were crewing boats quite heavily. And I know that they're getting produce from the Philippines and all parts of Africa and all. There's the problem that is still there, so it is. So I'm asking you to think slightly around the motion and that perhaps a horticulture and fishing industry as a consequence of the population that require the necessary water. So fishing industry is a massive economic driver inside the island. So I'm just asking you what the agenda is. What can be this amendment?
Then could you get a seconder from your proposal, please? You're just saying what the amendments are.
Yep.
That's exactly. Absolutely.
Yes, I got you.
Councillor Burney, are you happy enough to?
Yeah, it's very I think Simon both did the same. It's very hard to add something emotional point out the motion in terms of the horticulture industry. I don't want to take away the focus
from that industry who are occupants of the Development of that. But I do recognise that there is a shortage of workers in the fishing industry as well, and that may need to be added to the seasonal occupational list, the short recreational list, and that's something that we put into the board. So when we make our correspondence to the UK government and the advisory committee, my first advisory committee, that we can ask them to look into the shortage of workers in the fishing industry as well. But if you ever go back to the providers that have been saying that on the culture industry, that they are then accepting it to the mission. If we have that on open point in the letter, if you're happy with that.
I would like to come in and leave it.
But, yeah, I'm happy about it.
Thanks,
Mary. Morris? Chair, I'm happy to answer. I'm happy to ask the question for Apple industry as well as Mr. Byrne has eloquently described and highlighted the issues. But yeah, there was going to support the motion. As Councillor Anna quite rightly said, you know, this sort of traces back to Brexit, which sort of not a micro party there. And we have lost a lot of rights, you know, we have lost rights, and certainly those pushing travel air have lost rights, and that has obviously had a knock on effect economically as it's been described. And again, I suppose it also just in terms of rights come to protections as well, and possibly whatever workers do in your eye, you always have concern about the rights of workers too, and making sure that the rights are
in the end, but obviously support the motion. Thanks for that. Thank you. Just ask Councillor
Byrne to
sum up, please. Yeah, I'll be great, Chair. Thanks very much for the support. I suppose the one thing that we have to keep focused on is that when decisions are made about relaxing any restrictions for the UK government, they have a habit of focusing on UK alone and not on over here. And the problem with over here, or in the over here, is that the criteria that we're putting on doesn't affect in the GB because we have a new neighbour from Paula, and that's what we're losing the neighbour, and that's what we're losing out in Kansas. So it's important, as a local council, that we highlight those discrepancies that are put onto the desk of those in the UK government. So, yeah, listen, the last thing I'll say is speaking to North Virginia and CNL, they asked me before I left if you think there would be full support from the council for this. I hope so. It'll be more collaboration with Tessa Hand and Chivana. They're very, very supportive. And they were truly excited that everybody would probably have been supportive because they said they'd been back from this for a number of months. And that's where they went and got the help from Shajim and Anna Mercer to try and work on the issue for them and find that more people talking about it. So the fact that we can also go to council and talk about it and speak with one voice, they'll be really delighted with us. So I'll go back and I'll tell them that. So thank you, everybody, for the support.
Thank you. Is everybody in agreement? Okay, 21. Joseph motion received from Councillor Finn, Nursing Therapy. If you could read your motion and invite with us to who seconds, please try to try the sheet. I'll try to join the motion with Councillor Finn. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chair. So, acknowledging Council's previous agreement to oppose conversion therapy practices, expressing its disappointment that the executive failed to act on the outline of this practice, expressing further dissatisfaction with the practice of conversion therapy remains legal, stands in solidarity with members of the LGBT plus community and recognises the ongoing absence of Assembly, Executive and Ministers, this Council reaffirms its opposition to conversion therapy and support for the LGBT plus community and will write to the Permanent Secretaries of Health, Justice and Communities to detail what work will be done for the undertaking by their offices to prepare for the implementation of such a ban in advance of a re-established executive. Good evening, Council. Last week in Newry, young people from across organisations and communities in the city came together to host a number of events as part of Youth Pride. And I'd like to start by congratulating all of those involved in the organisation of the celebration of Pride. Conversion therapy has many forms. However, in its most basic, it's the practice of trying to suppress or change someone's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. It has been described by the UN as a form of torture and can ultimately leave people with lifelong mental or physical health impacts. There are countless harrowing accounts from those who have been subjected to conversion therapy, about the lasting damage it has done to them, and how difficult it has made their journey to come to terms with who they are. In my mind, nobody should ever be made to feel ashamed of who they love or who they are. And allowing this practice to continue allows certain groups to spread a harmful agenda shielded under the guise of wanting to help people. I believe that we all have a duty to speak out against conversion therapy and join the campaign to be affirmed. And that's why I'm asking my fellow councillors to send a clear message saying that we stand in solidarity against this practice and will take any actions we can to see the banning of conversion therapy become a reality. In the South last month, we saw a strong message being sent with the move to criminalise such practices, and we need to see this extended to include every citizen in the North. We're 2 years on from a strong motion which rejected the practice of so-called conversion therapy and called on the Communities Minister to bring forward legislation. We are yet to see progress on this issue. While it is deeply frustrating that yet another political impasse that's forming to halt progress on the issue, we have the capacity as a council to fight to ensure that no person is subjected to this cruel and regressive practice. And that's why I'm asking that everybody supports the right to the Permanent Secretary, the Departments of Justice, Health and Communities, to ask them if they can do everything they can ahead of a reformed executive to ensure that they're prepared to implement this ban as a matter of urgency. Thank you.
I want to start off by saying I'm disappointed that you really visited this issue. Students are lagging, and I'm not only aware of crisis causing them to have an education, but also in quality issues. I want to highlight that despite its name, conversion therapy is not therapy. Therapy is supposed to assist in healing. This practice reflects severe pain, suffering, and resulting in long-lasting psychological and physical damage. The UN independent expert on protection against violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity noted that conversion therapy constitutes an erroneous violation of rights to quality, autonomy, health, and freedom of expression. Conversion therapy is discredited and has absolutely no basis in fact in by law in many parts of the world, and the practice has been rejected by mainstream medical and mental health organizations. There is evidence that has caused significant mental illness of harm, increased rates, suicide attempts, self-harm, anxiety in the country. The extent of the damage done by conversion therapy is both unlimited and underreported. It's important that during this council today that we are sensitive to those back home who experience this trauma, and we as representatives have the responsibility to care for the majority, or for the minority, not just the majority. Tim being convinced of the practice of conversion therapy and what it stands for, and we are resolute in our opposition to homophobia and discrimination of any type. Under international human rights law, states have a duty to protect its citizens and provide what they can freely without interference. It's widely accepted that the practice of conversion therapy breaches an individual's most basic human rights. The impact of conversion therapy on individuals hugely bypasses the rights of religious freedom. In other words, the harm caused by conversion therapy is considerably more harm than restricting someone's religious beliefs. This is widely accepted within human rights internationally. In fact, the UN has a special reporter of religious freedom of belief, Dr. Manish Shahid, under the British government to ban this practice in Britain. Dr. Shahid is the most senior authority on religious rights internationally and was resolute that the ban of conversion therapy would not violate freedom of religion or belief under international law. He said, international human rights law is clear that this right to freedom of religion for belief does not limit the state's obligation to protect the life, dignity, and health of those in the LGBT community. Efforts are being progressed in the South of Ireland and Britain to ban conversion therapy. It is welcome that the North will not be left behind in these eyes in the terms of LGBTQ protections, thanks to the efforts of George and Harvey Wicker-Rose, community minister, but we remark the fact of not active assembly has diminished these roles. I want to remark on the timing of the motion being described, and I want to commemorate all those who celebrate being who they are. I want to highlight the pain of personal family, friends and colleagues identified as LGBTQ+, and very proud to support them, but still have to have a discussion on the rights of people and who they are. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lee Sojourner.
Thank you, Chair. I think we all know Alliance's position on this matter is pretty clear. We oppose any form of LGBTQI plus conversion therapy. So we welcome this motion. 9 years ago, an organizer tried to promote gay conversion therapy within this district. LGBT supporters, Black and Red, Rainbow Project, with myself, picketed outside the event in protest. And thankfully, there hasn't been another commotion event since. As Pastors Finn and Gwynn have stated, the harmful outcome of these early therapies, I won't repeat them. However, everyone at the end of the day deserves acceptance, the support, and the freedom to live their lives authentically and healthier. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The Democratic Unionist Party believes discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation is wrong. Everyone should be treated with respect and dignity. The DUP supports a ban on harmful and coercive practices involved with conversion therapy. We will not support any legislation that does not contain robust protection of religious freedom. We express deep concern with many practices that have previously been promoted under the umbrella of conversion therapy. These include electro-convulsive therapy, forced isolation, aversion therapy, food deprivation, hormone therapy, and hypnotherapy. There is a broad agreement on the need to ban conversion therapy, but the difficulty for any legislation is actually defining what conversion therapy is. That has led to very wide-ranging legislation in other jurisdictions. The lack of a clear definition is what has delayed legislation being brought in at Westminster. The government's national LGBT survey, which is often seen as the driving force for a ban, admits that it does not define what conversion therapy means or asking respondents to share their experiences. Legislation cannot realistically proceed on that basis. We need a clear and evidence-based definition of conversion therapy. It is the lack of this, not the absence of an executive, that is the main barrier to progress. We also need to ensure that progress towards banning conversion therapy does not prevent those who are uncertain about their sexuality or were failing to earn a backing of a person's mental health by accessing appropriate support. The DUP wants to see progress on this issue. Those appalling practices that still pervade our society today must be defined and made illegal if they aren't already. We as the DUP have not to understand this position. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just a quick comment. So, Councillor Quinn had said that disappointed in these panels. You know, this came upon this 5/20/21 discussed the Council's position on conversion therapy. I think on that, I think quite a lot of independent councillors that got full support. We could sit and argue until the cows come home about what conversion therapy is, because you're trying to take in the people in religious organizations and you're talking to people about issues. If you are talking to anybody, the LGBTQ community, and it's talking how they can communicate with sexuality about conversion therapy. Not talking to everybody that's trying to convert and post health of the entrance of sexuality. I talked in the personal experience, I have not been able to because I was I didn't want to. And he's coming to the realization that he's wrong, and that he should be issued with people, the LGBT community, or, made his comments, and by looking out to other opinions, he was able to change his position, so much so that he actually got the US, was there, he gave the counsel. And he gave him a picture that said it was a culture. Why should I fit in with your voice stand out? Maybe from the position that it was a couple of years earlier. And he stopped my husband being 12 out to the mother's bed. It was a remarkable trauma. And this is why all of people in the to engage and listen to members of the LGBTQ community. Listen to us speak, listen to our stories, listen to us tell you what the definition of conversion therapy is. Please don't hide behind the fact that we don't have an agreed definition of it. The kind of person with sexuality should be completely better. We should move to a position where they had last week and several weeks ago.
but an externalized subparticipation. Those parts should not be existing in this kind of channel.
Mr. Finn, would you like to sum up?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've probably got some of more eloquently Christopher version, but I think that your experience really does let you know how important it is that we are in all the practices. I am disappointed that the maybe will be staying on motion and what we're like to find everybody else within the chamber for their support.
Is everyone in agreement? Councillor Andrews is absent. Councillor Bryson?
Absolutely.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Graham?
Four.
Councillor Harmel?
Four.
Councillor Clark? Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devon is absent. Councillor Henrik? Councillor Finn?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor O'Reilly?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Marl is absent. Councillor Jackson?
Abstain.
Councillor Kearns?
Four.
Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor King? Four. Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Mitchell? Four.
Councillor
Wilson? Councillor Kenneth?
Four.
Claire Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McTeer?
Four.
Councillor McCoy?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy? Absolutely. Councillor Selena Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Corney?
Four.
Councillor Riley? Councillor Kidd? And Councillor Wright?
Four.
Councillor Wong?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Chardon?
Four.
Councillor Taylor and Senator are absent. Councillor Pierce-Hill?
Four.
That's 34 non-accounts and three exceptions. I need to suspend standing orders for an emergency motion. From Councillor Chardon, for me, the removal of vital funding for Glebe House in Kilkenny. So if I could have a proposal for a seconder, please. Opposed by Councillor Chardon. Seconded by Councillor Hammonds. You can pass the immediate report first and sorry. Okay, Councillor Andrews, absent. Councillor Bailey?
Four.
Councillor Brennan?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's the defense on the orders to the early March motion.
Four.
Councillor
Brennan? Four.
Councillor Campbell?
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Jedlis is absent. Councillor Henry? Councillor Finn?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Lovarez?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Four.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Farrell is absent. Councillor Jackson?
Four.
Councillor Harris? Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Darkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Thurston?
Four.
Councillor Wilson? Councillor McGinnis?
Four.
Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy is absent. Councillor Selena Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Quinn.
Four.
Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice.
Four.
Councillor Wong.
Four.
Councillor Savage.
Four.
Councillor Jordan.
Four.
Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tristan.
Four.
Was a motion from Councillor Shorten the removal of title funding to create license to be. Councillor Shorten read the motion. That's no response there.
Chair, just a correction, sorry. It's Councillor Gilbreth proposing that in second time.
The emergency motion reads, during morning time, so all the executive office to restore some of the landscape in place. Which enables people of all backgrounds to support conflict and difference within our community. It's not a problem, but mutual respect, tolerance, and positive and shared experiences. The council will write a permanent secretary highlighting the impact of the problem cut will have on greenhouse staff and programs in the wider community. So, having 22 years' experience as a youth worker, I totally see the positive impact of these provisions such as greenhouse on the people. Greenhouse funding has come in the hand of grants from the emergency executive government of partners that contribute to the salary costs. Recent pressures on the Northern Ireland budget has directly impacted on the greenhouse and of all the expenses received. The decision by the executive office to not provide any funding has reduced greenhouse salary contributions by more than £69,000. As a result, and regrettably, greenhouse management has proposed commencing the redundancy consultation process for all posts and situations available. I am asking what the council supports tonight. Directed by the Secretary Dennis McMahon for the Executive Office, requesting the restored funding levels to the likely place to continue with the great program offer they have provided for more than 40 years.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And as Councillor Cabrera mentions, the House has been providing support to all members of the community since 1975, 48 years of service. Someone that attended many programs throughout my life, I have experienced firsthand the great work. Leith House provides for good relations, well-being, environmental programs that has participants coming from across County Down and the island. In early May, Leith House celebrated women from across our council area in delivering a shared history tapestry that showed their lives and their histories, but also celebrated their diversity being written into one. Since the Ukraine war, Leith House offered volunteer-led English language support to refugees and provided a home to a Ukrainian refugee family, and have only recently opened a volunteer-led community garden, the Seed Bed, which also hosts Strathburn District's main shed. On an annual basis, the Leith House has over 200 people aged from 9 to 90 involved in their programs with a small team of 6 and a team of volunteers. Their work has been funded by a wide range of funders over the year, but key to this has been support from the Department of Health and the Executive Office. With the ever-missing executive and the continued budget difficulties, the key funding from the Department of Health has been halved, and in the last week, the Executive Office funding has gone from 90 to nothing. For an organisation that gives so much to the community, they now face immediate viability and sustainability challenges. With these funding cuts, Leith House are having to consult on the future of the organisation, what impact this has on their hard-working team, the production of programmes, and more severely, the impact it will have on young people and adults living in rurally, isolated locations who enjoy and for some was their only interaction with people day to day. Leith House is a safe space, facility across the area, an employer, a home, a community. We at the council need to stand with the advice to ensure that their programs work that makes such a positive impact on our society continues for another 48 years.
Thank you. Thanks,
yeah, thank you. Sinn Féin will be supporting this emergency motion this evening. I suppose it's worth noting that it's a disgrace that we're having to bring an emergency motion about this issue. Funding should be secured and should, you know, DPAS should have been able to maintain whatever level finances they have. Any strip in the funding is scandalous, but in particular for DPAS locally here, we know the work that was done, as elected reps know, and we know the people they employ. So it's going to have such a ripple effect right across the community and wider. As Councillor Sharman the rep has alluded to, it's going to help people from many areas and many different strands of the community. And when we're talking about, you know, positive shared experiences being decimated, that is really, really serious and really worrying. So I would encourage all parties to come together this evening and support, you know, the restoration of the funding, and definitely need to write to the Department Secretary. So hopefully we'll get some movement. I know there's a meeting on Thursday as well. And again, I would encourage all parties to be in attendance at that to support DPAS. Thank you.
Thanks,
Lauren. Thank you.
DPAS plays a valuable role in developing Narrows and Strangford, which is very important to lead in Strangford and Port of Erin, and valley culture, and all drawing as long as years from this particular section. But its primary residential the years was to take people from deprived areas all around Northern Ireland, single ethnicity communities, and bring them together with other communities in a rural context beside the sea. A great facility for people from Belfast, Lisburn, and Derry. And they've done a tremendous job at that down through the years. I would very much invite all the representatives of all political parties to come along on Thursday at 2 p.m. To the House and see what we can all do as political representatives to resolve that. Thank you.
Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. I guess just on the evening, just to say that we were really, really supportive of this emergency motion, and the former youth work itself, the respect that we're going to have for that work, and yeah, hopefully for the screening. Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Gilbreth. Could you sum up?
I was just going to appreciate the support from everyone that's given. The funny thing is that we get more of these sort of motions with the Hustle Inbox Center. Thank you.
Everybody in agreement? Good. Thank you, everybody, for standing. Stay home.
Thank you.